Hello everyone, and welcome to the Golden Goose First Half 2025 Earnings Results Call. My name is Nadia, and I'll be coordinating the call today. If you would like to ask a question at the end of the presentation, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. I will now hand over to your host, Silvio Campara, CEO of Golden Goose, to begin. Silvio, please go ahead.
Hi everyone. Hope you enjoy your holidays, and welcome to the Golden Goose Earnings Presentation of H1 2025 Results. The group generated revenues of 342 million euro, an increase of 13% versus H1 2024, with an acceleration in the second quarter of the year. The expansion of the direct-to-consumer channel happened through new stores opening in key stores markets and positive organic growth, continuing to be the core of our performances. Profitability was once again excellent. We achieved an adjusted EBITDA of 113 million euro, with a margin of 33%. Against a difficult macroeconomic context, our resilient performance reflects the continued global resonance of the Golden Goose brand among its communities. We saw double-digit and high single-digit growth across all regions, and we expanded our footprint with an additional 10 new openings, with an innovative retail concept in key strategic cultural and lifestyle hubs such as Venice, Ider to Manila. These results confirm the power of the Golden Goose brand, the strength of our DTC and innovation-led strategy, and the co-creation which keeps on reaching new heights. As always, I deeply want to thank you, our passionate and local and loyal communities around the world, as well as our Golden family, whose dedication and creativity brings our vision to life every single day. Now, as always, we leave the stage to Paolo, who will walk you through details of our incredible H1 2025 results. Grazie.
Thank you, Silvio. Hello everyone. If we go on page four, we have an overview of our first half results, which once again confirm the resilience of Golden Goose in what is certainly a challenging market environment. We have achieved 13% revenue growth at constant exchange rates, which mirrors the 13% growth we saw in 2024 fiscal year. The DTC, direct-to-consumer channel, which is the core of our expansion strategy, stands out with a 19% increase, consolidating the 18% growth from 2024 fiscal year. The DTC channel now accounts for 77% of our total business. Our EBITDA margin remains very solid at 33%. This is in a semester where we strategically brought forward a number of activities that in 2024 were carried out in the second half of the year. This completely explains the margin dilution compared to the first six months of 2024. By year-end, we expect only a slight dilution, reflecting the impact of the increase in U.S. tariffs. Our leverage is at a multiple of 2.4. We have a cash position of 126 million, plus an additional 100 million in our RCF. It's also important to inform you that on July 31st, 2025, the Golden Goose Group's general meeting approved the distribution of 100 million dividends to be paid in two tranches. The first of 70 million has already been disbursed in August, with the second of 30 million to be paid during the fourth quarter. At the same time, and for purely prudent reasons, we drew down 35 million from our RCF. The word prudent here means that our currently available cash is significantly higher than the amount of the RCF we have used. Now, let's walk through page five, in which you can see that our first half revenue growth, which came in at 342 million, was driven by a 12% increase in Q1 and a 14% increase in Q2, averaging out to 13% by the end of the first half. On page six, we have the breakdown of sales by geographic area. The most important news is that all three geographic areas are now experiencing a significant growth. This means that in addition to EMEA and the Americas, which saw significant growth even last year, APAC has now joined the team. But let's start with the Americas. In the first 6 months of 2025, they generated $124 million in revenue, representing 36% of our total business volume, with an overall growth of 8%. This is the result of 4% growth in Q1 and an acceleration to 11% in Q2. The DTC channel grew by 15%, with 13% in Q1 and a Q2 that accelerated to 17%. The growth is a result of the combined effect of a positive double-digit like-for-like and the space effect from new store openings over the last 12 months. The exceptional growth of our DTC channel has allowed us to continue our strict policy of containing sell-in to the wholesale channel in the Americas. While we remain one of the top brands in terms of sell-out in their floor, the multi-brand channel is suffering from a severe crisis in terms of foot traffic, and we absolutely do not want to inflate our clients' inventory with our products and or to take credit risks. Moving on to EMEA, which in the first 6 months of 2025 posted $173 million in revenue, representing 51% of our total business volume, with an overall growth of 18%, driven by 19% in Q1 and 18% in Q2. The DTC channel grew by 26%, with 30% in Q1 and 23% in Q2. This growth is a result of the combined effect of a positive DTC like-for-like in the mid-teens and the space effect from new store openings over the last 12 months. The wholesale channel is also growing in EMEA, in line with the strategy I just mentioned. The general health of the multi-brand market is good in this country, and as a result, we feel confident in increasing our sell-in. Let's conclude with the best news, the performance of APAC. In the first 6 months of 2025, it reached $45 million in revenue, representing 13% of our total business volume, but with an overall growth of 9%, which was evenly distributed between Q1 and Q2. The DTC channel grew by 14%, with 9% in Q1 and an exceptional 19% in Q2. The growth in this case is due to a flat like-for-like for the semester, but with a Q2 that was finally mid-single-digit positive, along with the space effect from new store openings over the last 12 months. The growth in the DTC channel more than compensates for the cuts we are making in the wholesale channel in APAC, which is mainly made up of online operators, making it very difficult for us to control distribution. It's also worth noting that the wholesale channel in APAC is only worth €2 million over a six-month period. On page 7, the DTC channel came in at $264 million for the first half, with a 19% growth at constant exchange rate. This growth was evenly distributed between the two quarters and is a result of a mix of factors, including a double-digit like-for-like of 10% and the space effect in our retail channel. Turning now to our wholesale channel, as expected, we saw a mid-single-digit decline. It's important to remind that our wholesale strategy is driven by a key principle. We prioritize sell-out performance over pushing sell-in volume. This disciplined approach is reflected in our regional performance. We significantly reduced sales to the multi-brand channel in the U.S., where we observed some softness in financial health and or sell-out trends, and similarly, we scaled back our presence with e-tailer in Asia, where the market dynamics were less favorable. However, we achieved mid-single-digit growth in the multi-brand channel in EMEA, where we saw strong sell-out performance. On page 8, you can see that we achieved a strong EBITDA margin of 33%, which reflects the strategic decision to push investments in our in-store customer experience with the goal of acquiring a larger customer base. We are doing this by taking advantage of the fact that the luxury sector is experiencing a drop in traffic in the first half of the year, so the best time to accelerate our efforts and gain market share. This is reflected in a temporary EBITDA margin dilution, which we expect to return slightly below 2024 figures, only reflecting the dilution impact of the new U.S. tariff rules. To give you a bridge of this impact, approximately 1% comes from an accounting effect related to our factory production. It's the effect of the strategic decision to increase the level of carryover inventory produced in our own factories. This collection has a longer life cycle than our newness collection, and its vertical margin benefit is simply slightly postponed. Approximately 1% comes from the accelerated activities we discussed related to investments in our in-store experience to support customer acquisition and retention. All these activities were carried out while maintaining our strict no-discount policy. Approximately 0.3% is from the different time shift of marketing impact compared to the first half of 2024. We recovered this effect significantly by the end of the year. The trend in EBIT mirrors what has been discussed, and furthermore is linked to an increase in depreciation and amortization of right-of-use assets. The profit and loss impact of depreciation is front-loaded compared to the sales benefit. The depreciation of right-of-use assets begins when we sign the lease, while the positive impact in terms of sales is expected to materialize 3-6 months later following the store openings, amplified by the typical ramp-up phase. Flipping to page 9, our trade working capital stands at 79 million compared to 61 million in the first half of 2024 and 51 million at the end of 2024. Receivable increased by 17 million versus the first half of 2024. This reflects our decision to extend more favorable payment terms to our wholesale partners, supporting them during this challenging time. It's important to note that more than two-thirds of our receivables are covered by insurance, mitigating any kind of credit risk. Inventory increased by 19 million versus the first half of 2024, still representing 22% of the revenues. This growth is necessary to support our expanding retail footprint and ensure we have sufficient stock to meet the growing demand of our products. Remember, the majority of our inventory consists of carryover styles or items that can be easily re-merchandised, minimizing in that case the risk of obsolescence. Payable increased by 18 million versus the first half of 2024, partially offsetting the increase in receivable and inventory. Our total capital expenditure for the first half of 2025 reached 25 million, representing 70% of revenue, with an increase of 9 million versus the first half of 2024. The major part of the increase was driven by retail, 7 million, related to new store openings, 10 this year versus 8 last year, and store refurbishment, 13 this year versus 10 last year. Meanwhile, investments in our headquarters and digital infrastructure remain almost stable. On slide 10, the store openings, as you can see, we opened 10 stores in the first half, 5 in EMEA, 3 in the Americas, and 2 in APAC. We want to highlight the opening of our first store in the Philippines, which resulted from our CRM digital data analysis strategy. The data showed strong brand traction in the Philippines, which pushed us to open a store in the country with an excellent result, being already the top seller store in APAC. Our adjusted operating cash flow, I'm on page 11, is lower compared to the first half of 2024, but this was done by purpose. Of the 20 million decrease in cash produced, about half is due to the more favorable payment terms we have granted to our state clients, which we have just discussed. We expect to normalize this as soon as state traffic trend returns to positive. The other half is mainly a result of CapEx and inventory to support new store openings. This is an investment for EBITDA in the coming semesters. On page 12, we commented the net financial position, which stands at 562 million post IFRS 16 compared to the 537 million in fiscal year 24, keeping our net leverage stable at 2.4. The decrease in our cash position during the first half is a result of several factors. These include the previously discussed investments and new projects launched this semester, along with more favorable payment terms we granted to our state clients. In addition, our cash was impacted by 6.4 million in extraordinary costs related to the bond issuance and 7.6 million placed as a temporary pledge to secure the bank guarantee, required for our store deposit payments to landlords. Without considering the 70 million dividend paid in August and the 30 million that could be paid in Q4, we expect to recover most of the cash absorbed during the first 6 months in the second half of the year, also considering the seasonality of the business and working capital dynamics. Thank you all, and now we'll turn it over to the operator for the Q&A session.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to remove your question, please press star followed by two. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. We'll pause for just a moment. We have a question from Carlos Razzuri of Napier Park. Carlos, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. Could you expand on the delta working capital movement on the cash flow? There's a 53 million outflow, and I'm not sure I'm following the building blocks here. Perhaps break it down into operating working capital and then the other impacts.
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Sure. In regards to the working capital change of 53 million in the first half, could you break down the effect of inventories, receivables, and others, as noted in the footnote?
As I was, Paolo, in taking the question, as I was mentioned before, the main reason of this difference between the Q1 because the first half, because also in first half we have 36 million, is due to the favorable payment condition that we gave to our clients. In that case, all our receivables are granted by an insurance, but in order to help them, we decided to allow us more additional days to pay. While inventories are increasing at the same level of what happened last year, just in order to follow what is the trend of our store openings, because the level of inventory is almost aligned to last year as compared to in terms of percentage on total revenues. Payable at the same time are aligned to what was last year. I have to say that what we can expect in second half, considering seasonality of the business, is to strongly recover these minus 52 million. Considering that mainly in Q4, for us, Q4 is the best moment in terms of revenues, having the Christmas period. And then, as happened last year, we expect to decrease this 12% of net working capital on revenues, maybe at the same level of what happened last year, 200, 300 basis points as compared to what is the level today.
Thank you. The other question I had is about the EBITDA margin dilution. Could you explain the marketing spending allocation? How has that changed compared to last year?
Yes, but we anticipate some expenses this year, then it's only a time shift effect. The impact in terms of incidence on revenues is 0.3% if you look at our profit and loss. And at the same time, we will spend a little bit less in the second half as compared to last year in terms of proportion. But the major part of the impact, that is a temporary effect, is due to what I was saying before. One percentage point of dilution is a temporary effect coming from the production of our factories. This year, we decided to produce carryover product in our factories. And as you know, you realize that you put this, the additional margin that we have thanks to the vertical integration, only when you realize this margin. Then being a carryover product, the time to realize these sales is a little bit longer than a newness collection. And for this reason, what we missed in the first semester will be mainly recovered in the second half. The remaining 1% of the dilution is only due to the anticipation of some activities that are not reclassified under marketing, but are related to customer experience, like in-store events and et cetera, that we carried out in the first 6 months in order to grab and to increase our customer acquisition, considering the trend of the sector outside. Then we are working in the last, we have been working the last 18 months with the traffic decline. And the only way, if you do not want to discount the product, and we do not want to discount the product to maintain sales, is to create moments for the customers who have good experience in the store. Also, these aspects will be recover in the second, this investment will be recovered in the second half. And as I was saying, our expectation is to land at the end of the year close to 34%, then aligned to what happened last year. The only difference will be the dilution in terms of margins related to the increase of U.S. tariffs.
Thank you. I'll pass it on.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. We have a question from Mikhail Lutma of Bain Capital. Mikhail, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the presentation. On like-for-like growth, could you please discuss what's footfall, what's traffic, and what's price?
The like, we do not normally disclose the like-for-like. What I can tell you is strongly positive because it's a double digit. And what's important is all the three areas are positive in the first semester.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And on the cash flow,
sorry,
you mentioned that the
Please.
No, and in the, I mean, no, please continue. I was going to ask another question.
No, I was saying that the like-for-like is mostly due to volumes effect. You asked about price increase because the only price adjustment that we did was made in May the 1st. It was only related to U.S. It was a low single-digit price increase just to help us to offset the effect of the duty increase. While in the rest of the world, the pricing has remained stable, and all the growth is intense. The major part of the growth is related to volumes.
Okay, that's understood. And traffic in the stores is also positive, you mentioned?
Traffic is down. Mid-single digits down also for us, but we were able to increase our conversion rate and also the average transaction value, and for this reason we landed in a double digit territory in terms of like for like it happened. Let me say,
okay,
this increasing conversion rate and average transaction value also in last year traffic was negative, but we were able to more than offset this impact.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you. And then the other question is on the cash flows. You mentioned that there is 7 million one-off from the bond issuance. Are those all the one-offs included in H125 cash flow?
They are all in, yes, no more. No more extraordinary costs related to the bond.
Okay, but are there in the delta and working capital and others, which is 53 million outflow, are there other one-offs with the bond?
No. They were all booked in the first half. Then we do not expect any additional cost landing in second half related to the bond. Another extraordinary cost?
Okay,
bond,
but
let's say no.
Yeah. Okay. That was it. Yeah, thank you.
As a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. We'll pause for just a moment. It appears we have no further questions. This now concludes today's call. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.